Welcome to another edition of El Paso Primetime. I'm Dennis Wu, and with the advent of Keep On Dancing coming around the corner on August 24th, over at the Wyndham Hotel, where registration is done through rgcf.org, with me this afternoon is Martha Vera, and she's one of the presenters at the conference this year. Welcome to El Paso Primetime.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a wonderful topic that you're talking about in terms of bone health. I think a lot of folks don't realize the magnitude of healthy bones, and especially when you're faced and confronted with cancer, with chemotherapy and radiation and whatnot. It has a tendency to compromise calcium. Your field of expertise in this helps people understand why bone health is so necessary going into and coming out of the survival of cancer.
Absolutely. You know that bone health is very important throughout our development from babyhood, you know, on up through adulthood and beyond, especially if you're going through a disease like cancer or rheumatoid arthritis. It's really important for us to build our bone mass early on so that we have a good, strong foundation. And after that, maintaining your bone mass.
The term osteoporosis strikes fear in the hearts of many, especially as we get older. The third age especially feels vulnerable to osteoporosis, and that's not necessarily the case, is it?
Right. The vulnerability of osteoporosis is that the older you get, and if you do not have calcium in your system to put into your bones, your body will take it out. We use calcium for muscle contraction, nerve conduction, clot formation, everything you can think of, we use calcium for. And if we don't ingest it some way, you know, we just don't get it because we don't produce calcium ourselves.
Those who are on a vegan diet have found alternative methods in order to get calcium. Those who are omnivores, of course, will get calcium through dairy products and otherwise. What do you suggest for the person who is confronted with cancer and might be told by an oncologist that possibly the bone structure might be compromised if there's not enough calcium in the system? How do they go about getting that in there before getting the treatments?
Okay, the best way to get it, and you just mentioned, is food. Mm-hmm. The more readily absorbable our calcium is, the better. So the good calcium supplements, if you want to supplement and not eat calcium rich diet, would be calcium citrate or calcium gluconate, calcium lactate, which is in milk. Soys have calcium as well, but then soys are really questionable in a lot of the estrogen-producing cancers. So you want to go back to, you know, looking at dairy, looking at supplements like this, looking at other food sources such as spinach and almonds. Nuts have a lot of calcium. Eggs.
I hadn't really thought about it from that standpoint when you start thinking in terms of ways to supplement or ways to ingest calcium. I never thought about almonds. I knew about eggs, knew about, you know, dairy, but I never thought that there were other ways to get calcium into the system.
Yes. There are. And so it's important for you to find out, you know, exactly how much calcium is in different types of food. You want to be taking in about 1,000 milligrams a day. Certainly, if we are getting enough sunshine and everything is working appropriately, we actually produce vitamin D, which helps absorb that calcium. So you also want to make sure that you have vitamin D in your system. So let's take a look at dairy products. About 3 servings, which is about an 8-ounce glass of milk or cheese, or if you want to do almonds or spinach, then you will have, with those servings, about 1,000 milligrams. which is good.
You mentioned spinach, and it started making me think in terms of dark leafy things.
Yes. The dark leafy things have a lot. You know, kale is wonderful. Mm-hmm. Source of calcium as well. So that's the big new salad.
I love kale.
I do too.
You know, it's such a delectable taste to it. And it just, in a salad, it's just absolutely wonderful. And so when we're out and about choosing the foods that we want, as we get older, I know that doctors have a propensity to say, you know, you need to cut back on this, you need to cut back on that. And for those of us who have had a dairy-rich diet all our lives, my life has always been around cheese, milk, and eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And when the doctor starts saying, well, you know, your cholesterol is a little
on the
there.
High side. Yeah.
So we can lean on things like kale, like spinach then.
Yes. Yes, you can. One thing that I think is very important for people to do is to get a bone density test. A bone density test will tell you what your bones look like. And everybody wonders, well, what's the perfect age to do this? Certainly, ideally, it would be start at 40 and then see where your bones are. And then later, you know, do another test closer to when women are perimenopausal. Certainly for men at about age 50, 55, to see where your bones are so that you can start taking care of that. And you wouldn't believe this, but there's a lot of men that come to our office and they are not supplementing in any way. It's very extremely dangerous for a man to have osteoporosis because usually they will break a hip more often than women do. And in men, there's a 50% chance of dying from the hip fracture, more so than women.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Who would have thought that a hip fracture, a hip break, would actually cause that kind of a demise? I mean,
yes.
Really, I never thought about it.
Right. It's usually the blood clot. There's
okay.
a blood clot from the fracture. You know, we're living to become an older age. We are surviving cancers now. So it's important to keep your bone density in check. Many doctors will not prescribe it. You have to actually ask for it, okay? So tell them that you want to know what your bone density is. If you do that and you do live to be a ripe old age of 87 into your 90s and maybe into the hundreds,
mm-hmm.
if you can maintain your bone density, you will not suffer compression changes. My father is a perfect example of someone with osteoporosis. He had a kind of a gastrectomy because of an ulcer that he had at a very young age. He was in his 40s, and now his osteoporosis is so severe because he cannot absorb calcium. So it doesn't matter how much he ingests, he doesn't have the appropriate mechanism to absorb anymore. So consequently, you know, it happens. But when that happens and you start getting kyphotic, it compromises your ability to breathe, your ability to move, and your ability to eat. So then you're not absorbing the little that you could absorb before.
Okay.
So
when we speak about cancer, when a person is diagnosed, stage one, stage two, and the thought would never come to mind about bone density at that point, what does a person do at that point, given the magnitude of whatever the cancer may be? It could be a skin cancer, it could be melanoma, it could be breast cancer, it could be prostate, it could be anything. Cancer is cancer, and that person's not thinking in terms of bone density. How do you get a person to be hip to think about it then?
Well, that's what our whole discussion will be about, and this wonderful seminar that Patty Tiscareño and the Rio Grande Cancer Foundation are putting together, Keep On Dancing, will give people with cancer and even those without it the ability to know how to take care of it, what to ask for, you know, ask for your bone density test. So if someone comes in and is diagnosed with cancer, ask that first. Or if you have never had one, say, please, I would like to have a bone density test now. and then start following up, because it's radiation and chemotherapy that rob the bones of the calcium, just because at the cellular level, there's so much happening. So you need to make sure that you have it available for your bones to put back inside. Make sure that you are exercising. Weight-bearing exercise is the very best way to get calcium back into your system. And voila, dancing is one of them.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. I hadn't really thought about it from that standpoint. I know I do a walk every day with my dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure exactly if that's a weight-bearing exercise, but we do maybe about an hour and a half and roughly about 3.5 miles every day.
Is he pulling you?
Yes. Okay. As a matter of fact, she takes Daddy for the walk. It's not the other way around. I'll suggest it. Say, sweetie, do you know? And then she'll like, no, we're going to go over here now. So she pulls all the time.
Anytime that you have that weight-bearing component is when you're going to build bone mass. So people do ask me, and part of this discussion at the conference will be what exercises you can do to encourage that strength building of your muscles. Because anytime you put stress on your bone, you're going to build bone density. So if she's taking you for a walk, you're building some bone mass in those areas. So dancing, as I was saying, is another wonderful form of weight-bearing exercise, because you're torsing your body. You've got the weight of the other person dancing with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a wonderful way to exercise when you don't feel like, I don't really feel like exercising. I just want somebody to hold me.
Right.
You know, so it's that's a wonderful way.
That's a wonderful way to look at it. That's very romantic, actually, especially at a time when a cancer survivor needs that extra oomph to know that somebody cares. Dancing's a wonderful thing. I hadn't
Absolutely.
Thought about it.
Wow. So I think that they had a really good idea coming into this seminar, so, and calling it what they did.
So those who go and maybe perhaps imbibe in a walk with a backpack with some weight in it, in our case, it's maybe about 3 bottles of water, some food for the little girl, even though she's going to eat at home when we get home. But taking that backpack would put some weight on my back in order to just do this whole thing. So that helps.
Absolutely. There are other little wrist weights and mm-hmm. ankle weights that are very light, but it puts enough weight on your leg and on your arms to help create that stress on the bone to help put it in. Do you know how they found out about stress and bone density?
No, I had no idea.
Well, when NASA first started the space travel, they found out that when their astronauts were coming back, they were losing bone density. So part of it was that there's no gravitational pull, right? There's nothing pulling you down, so then you're weightless.
Right.
And in weightlessness, you lose bone density. So if you're not active, if you're lying in bed and not actually exercising and putting that stress on your bones, you will tend to lose bone density, even though you're on Earth with gravitational pull.
Oh, my goodness. So even just being a couch potato could actually be dangerous to your health.
Yes. That's probably the most dangerous.
Martha Vetta is our guest this afternoon on El Paso Primetime. We're talking about bone density. We're also talking about this upcoming conference called Keep On Dancing. It's the annual conference from the Rio Grande Cancer Foundation. And this time around, it's on August 24th. Registration at 7 a.m. Everything starts at 8. The registration fee comes complete with meals. All of the presenters are basically free, including Martha's talk about bone density and bone structure and everything you need to know to keep yourselves alive, basically.
Yes.
That's amazing. I'd never thought about it from that standpoint of about being a couch potato could actually kill you.
Wouldn't you know it?
No.
But, yes, bone density, you will lose it if you don't use it.
Mm-hmm. I remember that saying from my days of being in football. So I remember that whole thing. But there are those who live the life of a sedentary person. How do you motivate a person to get up and dance?
You know, it's really hard, because it's a lot easier to rest And motivating yourself to get up and exercise is a feat in itself. So I think that if somebody takes that and just says, you know, today I am going to exercise, and you're getting close to getting to where you're going to exercise, and you say, but I could really sit here in front of this TV set. It's my favorite show. You know what? Forget about that. Turn that side off and go for that walk, because the more you oxygenate your blood, the more stress on your bones, you're actually going to feel better.
Mm-hmm. It makes sense.
Yes.
Gardening.
Gardening is wonderful.
Yeah. Because of the stress factor. You're pulling a weed, which means you're making your muscles work, which means that you're putting stress on certain digits in order to make that work.
Absolutely. Besides, there's leaning over, there's bending down, or, you know, just reaching for something, working with the dirt. That's another really wonderful way to exercise. And it's a way to exercise which is almost by osmosis, right? You're not really having to think about exercise. And I think that's what's wonderful about dance, that you don't really think of it as exercise.
Right. Mm-hmm. So if you ignore all of the infomercials about, you know, the six-pack abs and all that, and just go dance just because you're enjoying it, you're actually doing yourselves quite a world of good. The whole world should dance.
Yes. They should.
See, and I think if my mom were here, she would ask you if housework, daily housework, bending down, cleaning the cupboards, doing the dusting, the vacuuming, the whole nine yards, she would ask you if that's considered exercise for bone density.
I would consider it exercise, depending on what it is that she's doing. If she's hauling around a nice big vacuum cleaner, like I said, you can get those little wrist weights, ankle weights, put them on while you're cleaning the house. That adds a little bit more. So there's a lot of ways to supplement your exercise with the things that you do on a daily basis.
This is for everyone who is a shopaholic. Going shopping, going from store to store, walking from place to place in a large mall, like the Outlet Mall, like Sierra Vista, Bassett, you name it, that's a stretch, but that's kind of exercise.
Yes, it is. You know, there are groups that walk the malls. They're called the walk-a-mollies. And they go ahead and walk in a very quick pace, and you have a chance to do your window shopping, and who knows, maybe something will draw your attention to go into the store. But certainly walking at a fast, brisk pace, things, like I said, that don't remind you of counting your exercise, you know, doing certain number of squats or whatever. If that's not your bag, then find something else that, you know, that will help you exercise without you thinking that it is.
Hiking, biking, birding, you name it. Anything that you can put some kind of stress on every digit on your body in order to create that bone density. And it's therapeutic. It's not only just building the bone density, but for a cancer survivor, it also takes the mind off of the big C word and replaces it with, I'm beating this.
Right.
What an incredible way to do this. When you do these workshops, do you find that people have the light go on and says, oh my gosh, I can't believe I can do this?
Absolutely. I've done two of these seminars for Patty, and the excitement that I see in the room is wonderful, because to get people motivated and the light does come on and say, you know what, I do that already. I could just add a little something and it's going to give me a little more exercise. So that is a good thing. And that you are in control through your emotions, through your activity, through many things that you do have control over at this time.
That's the important thing for everyone to remind themselves over, whether you're a cancer survivor, you've just been diagnosed with it, if you're a caregiver, if you're related to this person, if you know this person. The one thing is to motivate in a positive manner.
Absolutely.
seems like dancing really just becomes the total package, doesn't it?
It does. Anything that's going to help you smile, to brighten your world, laugh at jokes, whatever, you know, it's going to brighten your day. And with that brightness comes the motivation to do something physical. So,
we live in the desert Southwest. It's never, well, recently it's been a little rainy, but it's never going to be a dreary time to, I don't want to go outside. Every day is practically a beautiful time to go out.
From morning to dusk, you know, and if it's too hot during the day, early morning, late afternoon, when that sun is setting, oh my God, the beautiful colors and it's and just breathing in that clean, fresh air is wonderful.
Absolutely. The exercise factor, I keep going back to this because I think when we get into the third age, I'm 58, and my revelation of being able to go out and walk my dog in the early in the evening, the dusk is going down, and being able to spend time with her and my neighbors and walk around and feel vibrant. I forget about whatever happened in the day, and my whole attitude towards life has changed dramatically. And I think for a lot of people, this is a good revelation to start right now.
Absolutely.
So this brings me back to the motivation factor. How do you get somebody who is waffling? How do you get that person off of that couch?
Help them up. Say, come with me. Let's go for a walk. So all the family members need to be part of the healing process and part of the bone building process.
If for some reason that person happens to be alone, there's no family, now you're relying on a friend network or the neighbor network to try to get this done.
Right. And that's important too. Just as important as family are your friends that'll help you get up and move or take you dancing. You know, who knows what will come of all of this? Certainly many beautiful memories and probably a new way of life, you know, to start moving and exercising and doing it in a fun way.
I agree. And there are more than enough places in town where you can go out and dance.
Absolutely, yes.
You know, and it doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be at a bar. I can think of places, and it sounds kind of odd for a lot of folks who don't want to think of it, but when you go to a senior center is no longer that whole scene of dreariness. It's all about people that want to be alive, that have created a network among themselves and can't wait to find a new person to make friends with.
Right. And there are many of those. And let me tell you, there are some beautiful dancers there and beautiful music.
Mm-hmm. See, that's the whole trick is you gotta want to go. And
that's
so
right.
That's where your friends come in. That's where your family comes in. How do you hip the family to make sure that they do this?
And you know, the other thing is, if you've ever wanted to learn anything new, this is a wonderful time to do it. So let's say that you want to go out and do some Argentine tango, or you want to learn how to really waltz well, or you just want to pick up another exercise form. It is a wonderful time to do that.
Yeah, line dancing.
Line dancing, absolutely.
Yeah, the Argentine tango, the line dance, even this new craze of Zumba.
Yes.
You know, there are places where you don't even have to spend any money on the whole thing. We have here on campus the Osher Lifelong Learning Center. We also have continuing education here. And I believe they're on the dockets on both of those programs. They have dancing classes.
Absolutely.
Just have to pick up a phone and start phoning.
That's right. You would be surprised at how many wonderful people are out there that can be part of your healing process.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And if you're in a questionable state where you don't know who to turn to, where do they go?
Well, they can always ask. The Rio Grande Cancer Foundation does have many answers to a lot of their questions. Whether it is to go ask for maybe a second opinion, or where do I go to find new exercise? What are the things that are involved in the community? Where can I get involved in the community that will help me? They certainly have a lot of answers.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that intrigues me throughout this entire conversation, and I keep thinking about it because I'd never thought about it. When you talk about weights, I'm always thinking 40-pound barbells and these huge pies of metal. But it doesn't have to be that way. It's a one-pound weight.
Right. And maybe not even that much. Maybe even half-pound weight. Because all you need is that little bit extra to help create the stress on your bone.
That's it.
Remember, it's at a molecular level. It's so minuscule, yet that little minuscule amount can do so much good.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the density, and if you don't, you know, that's where you're going to start suffering, because a lot of these fractures are really truly microfractures that, when compounded, yield compression changes that give you kyphosis or a broken leg. So these are processes that take years and years to accumulate. So you want to do something early. It astounds me to see so many of our patients coming in to have bone density tests, and I wonder, how could they have osteoporosis at this date in time?
Mm-hmm.
Because we should have our doctors looking out for it. I was probably the first person in El Paso to be trained. I opened the first bone density center for Dr. Strader and Young here in El Paso, over 30 years ago. And it amazes me that there are still people out there that come in and are not taking anything for their bones. They don't even know what their risk factors are. And once you know that, if you educate yourself about your risk factors, about what your bone density is, there's so much you can do. You can raise that bone density, and it's up to you, really. It's up to you to take your medication if you need to take it. And if you don't, make sure you have your calcium, your vitamin D, and your weight-bearing exercise. So important.
And it's so easy to do, but let's bring this all back to the beginning of this conversation. Anyone wanting a bone density test should ask their physician to get one.
That's right.
That's it. It's very simple. Oh, my goodness. What a row.
And you know, it's funny because, you know, you've been to the doctor, I've been to the doctor. Let's say something's wrong. We always go in there and we forget to ask about those things. It's like, when was the last time I had a bone density test? Or, you know, I don't quite remember.
Yeah.
So that's
I've never
an
had
important
one.
Thing. Well, you need to come and have one done.
I do. And actually, you're right. Now, I've had an MRI, and they've told me every bone in my body on my left side's kind of fractured. But they've also said, well, you know, your bone density's kind of, well, maybe I did have a bone density test then through that MRI, because I was told that I have a lot of fractures that have healed over.
Okay, they can see that, but they don't know what your density actually is.
So I need to go have a bone density
test.
Yes. Okay.
You can come to Imaging El Paso,
okay,
where I'm at.
Nice.
But the thing is, you need to know what your T-score is, and your T-score tells you where you are at. And then you can build that score up.
We've been talking about bone density with Martha Vera, and she's going to be one of the presenters at this year's conference called Keep On Dancing at the Wyndham Hotel. That's set for Saturday, August 24th. If you need information on registration and all of that, go to rgcf.org. El Paso Primetime is a production of KTEP, all rights reserved. Thanks for listening. Louis Sines is up next with Perspectives. Have a great weekend.